Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, May 24th. The Eastern Conference Finals continuing to disappoint, but this is your boy Matt Shook, an AP writer out here in Chicago covering the NBA. That's Associated Press, for those of you who don't know what AP is. I took for granted that some of the listeners don't know a little bit of the sports writing game, but I'm a Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks again for making us part of your daily routine, whether it's the commute, maybe at the desk, at the job or something. But thanks for the listen, and I appreciate that. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast, and let me know if you can't find it, and we'll point you in the right direction. But today we're going to be talking about, yikes, this Eastern Conference Finals. Time to break up the Cavs, I guess. But I'm going to be really happy when LeBron James goes elsewhere this offseason. I just have contempt for this Cleveland Cavaliers team sometimes. The drama surrounding it, the LeBron getting all the credit and then getting none of the blame. Not that I think that that's completely out of line, but just too much. Ready for him to move on. I'm ready for that portion of my life to end. And since everything revolves around me, I think LeBron should take that under consideration. We're also going to be hearing today from Jarrett Stevens of Ferndale High School. That name probably rings a bell to you. He is one of the best players in Oakland County basketball history, but more importantly, also one of the best players in Penn State basketball history. I ran into him at the NBA Combine. We're going to be hearing what he's up to these days as a Detroit basketball I'm not going to say icon, but a Detroit basketball notable player of the past as well. And also what he thinks about an intriguing second-round prospect from Penn State and Tony Carr, and maybe if he could fit with the Pistons someday as well. I'm also going to, it's just another one of those self-indulgent interviews. I ran into him at the Combine. He was one of the first guys that I ever saw dunk in a high school basketball game. So he struck a chord with me early on as a young Matt Shook was watching the Knights take on the Ferndale Eagles and noticed Jarrett and saw him at the Combine with his name tag on and said, "Oh, that's Jarrett Stevens of Penn State. Let's get him on the show." So also for Pistons playoff playback, we're going back to 2004. Many of your favorite seasons, I'm guessing, in NBA history. And maybe the most famous defensive play in Detroit Pistons history was on this date back in 2004. But I've also got a couple other candidates that might fit that bill, too. Maybe you guys can let me know what you think about that. But if you're following these playoffs, obviously you should be listening to the Locked On Network, Locked On Warriors, Locked On Rockets, Cavs, Celtics, and the Locked On NBA show. They've got you covered with all that good stuff. And I told you about Locked On Celtics. They had Rachel Nichols on the other day. I listened to that. Very good interview with John Corrales and the guys over there. But a couple things before we get started in the NBA content, or with the on-court content, I should say. The other day, we lost an NBA writer and also a member of NBA Twitter named Bo Cherney. Cherney apparently committed suicide, and a lot of folks on NBA Twitter are out there posting memorials about Bo online. I didn't know Bo and frankly didn't know of him, but maybe you are, as someone listening to this podcast who's probably a big basketball fan, maybe you are someone who did know him, or if not, maybe you want to read up about him. And I'm going to pass along the link to an Everyday Hero fundraising site that's been made in his honor, kind of like a GoFundMe page, with proceeds going to the Lost and Found Youth, an Atlanta-based organization that provides services for local LGBTQ youth who are in need. And I will provide a link to that on my Twitter feed. And he was apparently involved with a lot of the Atlanta Hawks coverage and NBA Twitter, and Atlanta guy through and through. But I think it's just a great thing to do anyways with some of these fundraising things, especially if you're able to pitch in. There was nearly $15,000 raised in one day in Bo's honor, including $250 from Atlanta Hawks Communications. So hat tip to the Hawks for that. And also Steve Kerr's wife, Margot Kerr, donated $271.77. That's an unconfirmed thing. It was passed along on Twitter that it was her name. The name Margot Kerr is listed as one of the donators, and someone on Twitter passed along that was in fact Steve Kerr's wife. But I could see how that could be possibly not true. But anyway, that's the word on the street. No reason to not believe it, but just want to say that that was unconfirmed. But anyway, so some big names kind of pitching in and helping out. Wanted to bring that to your attention, and also, you know, anytime the attention to mental health and suicide and potential suicides out there just feels like maybe, just maybe, we're becoming a little bit more compassionate as a society in some corners of the world. But let's kind of try to continue that progress so we can stop as many of these things from happening as possible. Maybe use tragedies like this with Bo to rethink some of the things we do in our daily lives to help be better citizens of the globe in big ways and also small ways as those add up over the times and over the years and all that too. But transitioning from that, a big hat tip again to one of my former employers. I used to write for a website called SEC Country, which covers obviously the SEC college sports. It was one of my most reliable freelance gigs for a while before I stopped writing for them on my own. But anyways, those guys are shutting down at the end of June. Their parent company, Cox Media Group, is cutting it loose, and a lot of good reporters and editors are going to be out of work. So in addition to the Big Ten sister site, Land of 10, will be shutting down. Maybe you guys might be a little bit familiar with that. It's a site that, and I live in Big Ten country. I interact with Big Ten fans all the time. Never really gained meaningful traction, but that's not the case for the SEC site, which I wrote for. You know, Paul Feinbaum talks about those guys all the time, and the reporters for SEC country were big names on the beat. It was Land of 10 was a much smaller version of that in the Big Ten country. And if you've never heard of it and you're a Michigan or Michigan State fan, perhaps that's telling in and of itself. But I'm using this chance to kind of wish that those folks well, first of all. And also, please remember to support your local journalists. Think what you see happens at a macro level when the media is under attack, like we see in Washington. But if there's something you like, support it. You know, when Adam Carolla used to host Hawk a Product on his podcast, which I listened to all the time back in the day, don't really listen to it anymore. But that was going to be what I got my dad for Father's Day, because, you know, he was going to support his podcast. It was going to be something, I was going to buy something for Bill anyway, so might as well get that product, because I wanted to support that podcast I listen to every day for free. And I'm not just tying that into what we're doing here on Lock on Pet Pistons exclusively, but for us, you know, just give us an iTunes rating, tell your friends about us, and consider giving our sponsors some support if it's a product that you might be interested. You know, one day maybe the Lockdown Network will be gone, or maybe I decide that I don't have time to do this because there's not enough money into it or whatever, and maybe some of you would like that. But if you don't, or if you wouldn't, try to do these little things and maybe even big things to support what we're doing here. We, you know, here at the podcast, we might be having some events soon, watch parties at bars in Detroit or in the area for the draft or games or something like that. And let me know if you have any feedback on those kind of events, if you want to get involved or be a part of those. Or maybe we'll see if a group wants to meet in Grand Rapids for a drive game or something like that, some meetups. So come to those, stuff like that. But moving on to the court a little bit here. Boston killed LeBron in Cleveland last night, 96-83. The final score didn't matter. This game sucked, as of all five so far. Boston takes the 3-2 lead. I said before, maybe we go back to five-game series. Maybe just go back to one-game series, actually. Just do one-game elimination like the NCAA tournament. I mean, who cares? You know, this has just been a despicable conference finals. One good game out of nine so far out of the West and East. Tony East, he's the host of Locked On Pacers, a guy we had on the show, a friend of the show, a guy I like. We did the crossover episode with the Pacers a little bit. He was on Twitter yesterday on Wednesday saying he's been enjoying the conference finals because you see coaching adjustments and then they work from game to game and resounding success by the teams and then they end up killing the opponents. I don't quite understand that. I hate when people talk so much about adjustments. I mean, first of all, I think the coaching adjustments are a little bit overrated. Obviously, they're a factor in the playoffs, but it's not just that Brad Stevens is this great coach and that's why Boston is winning some of these games. There is some, you know, human nature in terms of the motivation in games. I think we obviously see that with the Cleveland Cavaliers more than any team ever in recent history, basically. I mean, but really also, I mean, is that why you watch basketball? To see who switches against who? To see which defensive player Brad Stevens attacks? And I know some of those things can be interesting in and of itself, but I mean, I'm watching games to see, you know, some of the best players and most famous athletes of all time, what they can do in fourth quarters to write their legacy all time. And I know that some of that stuff gets made fun of and overblown on some corners of the internet with the rings talk and stuff. But isn't that what we're kind of here to do, to watch some of these championship moments and to see who comes through and who doesn't, such as Kevin Durant the other night in terms of doesn't. But with Tony saying that, it was just one of the weirder Twitter moments in a while. I don't want to pick on him. It was just a comment that stuck out at me. He was kind of taking the contrarian view of what myself and as far as I know, as far as I thought, everyone thought that these conference finals have been horrible and really unwatchable in the past halftime. But anyway, game six is back in Cleveland. No doubt a Cavs blowout coming there, so we can start the one-game series, game seven at Boston on Sunday. And as you're thinking about your Memorial Day weekend plans, that's a night game too on Sunday night, a holiday weekend. So should be a nice lubed-up Boston crowd there in Beantown. But tonight, Golden State and Houston in Houston, 9 o'clock Eastern time. Houston, the one-point favorite at home. I'm banging the Warriors if I'm betting that one, although I probably hold off until you get the injury update before the game with Andre Iguodala and Klay Thompson listed as questionable by the team on Wednesday for tonight's game. Those could be the breaks that Houston needed. Obviously, Iguodala being out the other day was a big factor in Houston getting the win. And if both of those guys are out, obviously we could see the Rockets going to the NBA Finals and possibly winning the NBA championship, which would be a surprise to idiots like me who thought this was probably, you know, a six-game series at best. I still think it will be, but I could be wrong, obviously. We will see. And since we aren't scheduled to have a Friday show this week, we're into the off-season schedule a little bit here, obviously pending if anything happens with big Pistons news. But I'll point out now that Pistons GT back in action this weekend with the NBA 2K League, our video games boys that are representing the D. 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Saturday, Pistons GT will take on Celtics Crossover Gaming. So we got our chance to take down Beantown. If it can't beat the Celtics, if it can't even get in the playoffs and get on the level of those guys, at least our virtual guys can maybe beat them. Pistons GT 2-0 right now in the regular season for the NBA 2K League, and we'll see if they can keep that going in New York. You can check out those games live on Twitch, and we'll be following them throughout the season. Obviously, up next, hear from one of Oakland County's best players in the last few decades, Jared Stevens of Ferndale, who went on to star at Penn State and is now in the college and looking to possibly be in the NBA coaching game as well. But if your company wants to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if that demo sounds good to you, this is your spot. Plus, we've got reasonable rates. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
Later on, we will have Pistons playoff playback going back to 2004. Since we can't live in the present, we will relive some of the championships and playoff runs of the past. But today we've got our interview with Jared Stevens, another kind of random one that we're doing here. The second kind of random Ferndale Eagles player that we've had on. We had Rashad Phillips on a couple months back, and maybe we'll get Herb Galladay or Tommy Staton someday, something like that. I swear we don't just have the Eagles on because my mom went there. But Jared Stevens, whose older brother, Dwayne, you probably may know him as well. Dwayne being a former standout at Michigan State for Judd Heathcote and now serves as an associate head coach, the top assistant for Tom Izzo in East Lansing. Jared, his younger brother, was more of a football player in high school as an outside linebacker and tight end, was like a national recruit, all-state guy for tight end for basketball, but decided he wanted to play hoops instead, ended up in the Big Ten with Penn State. There he became a force inside, and despite being 6'6", was a dominant college post player for, you know, some really kind of the bottom of the barrel Penn State teams at the time. But still, you know, he became a standout Big Ten player in his own right, was an all-state or an all Big Ten selection in his senior year in 1999-2000. Only the third ever all Big Ten selection then for Penn State, and the first ever consensus all Big Ten selection there as well. After that, he played nearly a decade in Europe and South America. And he joined his alma mater, Penn State, as a consultant this past season with the program, helping with a lot of the off-the-court stuff, getting guys prepared for their professional lives, whether that be in basketball or not, and also with the the college atmosphere types of things that they have to deal with. And along those lines, Stevens was in Chicago last week for the Combine and was helping Tony Carr, the prospect for the Nittany Lions, through the process. And we'll talk a little bit about Tony and how he might pertain to the Pistons' second-round chances after the interview. But here's Jarrett Stevens, the proud former Ferndale Eagles star. All right, and we're here at the Combine with Jarrett Stevens, the former Ferndale Eagle and one of the better players from Penn State basketball history. Jarrett, you're back working with Penn State this past year. Tell the folks what you've been up to with the Nittany Lions.
They called me back. They wanted me back on staff, sort of to be around the players and mentor them and have them try to, go forward and, try to grow up as men. And, I've been on the collegiate level and the pro level and different things like that. So it's a different perspective, and it helps them, and, moving forward to know what it is, what life is, not just on the court but off the court as well.
And you're here at the Combine kind of helping out with Tony Carr, one of the prospects from Penn State. How would you assess how he did this week and what his prospects are going forward?
Well, it was I think that he did well in the individual things. On the floor, I think that he was hampered a little bit by a lingering ankle injury. So he didn't play that well during the 5-on-5. But he's still very positive. He's looking forward to the next steps and being able to go and showcase in front of these teams in the private workouts.
Now, I would assume growing up in the Detroit area that the Pistons are maybe your team as a kid growing up. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. I was a huge Bad Boy fan, and even when they had the championship run and in the early 2000s, big fan. And yeah, I've always been a Pistons fan, and I would love to be back with the Pistons in any type of capacity. So it's everything is it works out. I could be back in the Detroit area.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about Tony and the Pistons? Does that seem like kind of a little bit of a fit, a team that kind of needs some wings, some of that size on the perimeter as well?
Well, yeah, I saw that they had some interest in him, and he was somebody that they interviewed, and I saw the thing earlier, what they did, the virtual reality with him. I think that he would be great. I think that, his size and his length and everything, I think that could only help in any NBA team. It's not just the Pistons, but with any NBA team, I think that he would do well. But I'm very happy that they have some type of interest in him.
And I would imagine that being at an event like this with all sorts of players that probably you played against and went up against collegiately and at the pro level, are there some names of blasts from the past that you've run into that have kind of surprised you these last couple of days?
No, I mean, the whole NBA is here. So, as a kid, you grow up and you're a Magic fan, and then, next thing you know, you're 2 feet away from him. So it's kind of surreal, but at the same time, that you're here to do a job, and you're here to to help these players along and evaluate the players and network as much as possible. So I think that it's great for the NBA to do something like this every year. It helps people trying to get in and try to navigate their way around the league.
Jarrett Stevens, thanks for your time, and good luck to you the rest of the way.
All right, good luck to you. Thank you.
Thanks to Jarrett for taking the time last week. As I mentioned, a big-time player against my alma mater, Kimball High School, back in the day. Not the last guy from Ferndale I saw dunk in a game at Kimball. When I was on the team, we played against the Eagles, and they were a real tough team back then with Stanis Buford, Leonard Hardin, and also another Division I signee in Kent State. For Cliff Brown, he went on to play 2 years with the Golden Flashes and then 2 years with Niagara. After that, we averaged actually 16 points per game as a senior, so a legit Division I player there. Now, anyways, late in my high school career, my game was basically just shot. I had a good junior season in both soccer and basketball, but then I had, and here come my athletic excuses, I had hip flexor problems and pain throughout my whole senior year in sports, and I was also less interested in staying in great shape at that time, too. Not that I was ever in great shape, but even in good shape back then. But so that injury kind of hurt my lateral movement. It was really a problem for me. And when you're a soccer goalie and also an already slow perimeter basketball player going up against you know, the West Bloomfields and Ferndales of the world, that became a problem. That West Bloomfield team was really good. They had, you know, Jonathan Merritt, a big man who went up to play at Kent State in the post, Donnie Wohl, who actually played minutes at Michigan during his career, and then Jason Mercer, who I think played somewhere Division I, II. Kyle Brown was on that team. He went to play football at Michigan State as well. And we took those guys to overtime, by the way. But anyways, long story short, against Ferndale, I was stuck playing point guard, which I never did, but my handles were really bad also. But Cliff Brown of the Eagles, he picked me up full court during pretty much garbage time, I believe, at that point. Picked my pocket and then went in for an uncontested dunk, which would be fine. But he didn't just dunk. He did a freaking 360 as I kind of half-heartedly ran back to make it look like I was hustling and defending. And right in front of my student section with my friends and my girlfriend was there watching. I think my grandparents were at that game too. The 360 dunk. So I feel like my athletic career might have actually like officially died that night thanks to Cliff Brown and the Ferndale Eagles. But talking about Ferndale and Jarrett Stevens, he was at the combine with Tony Carr, a point guard who came out and signed with an agent after his sophomore year at Penn State. Another one of those possible second round players the Pistons could be looking at. Good size for a point guard at 6'4.5", a guy who can score it. You know that if you followed the Big Ten. He interviewed with the Pistons, another name to think about is the draft on June 21st. Approaches could be a nice fit for the Pistons, but we will see. Today we're coming up in Pistons playback. We're going to go back to 2004, a great season, just like my basketball memories from high school. Just great memories for everyone to look back on. But also give us a listen on the Locked On Network for the Locked On Lions Show with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. Speaking of things to get excited for this year, the Detroit Lions and Matt Patricia. So check us out there, and also check out the Locked On Sports landing page, lockedonsports.com. We got you covered here on the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, it is now time for Pistons playoff playback 2004, the championship year, and perhaps even more impressive than my athletic achievements in high school from earlier in the show was the block heard round the world. Tayshaun Prince chases down Reggie Miller in game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. Pistons already down, had lost game one on the road to the top-seeded Pacers in Indianapolis. Then Pistons playoff playback today, May 24th, 2004. On this day, 14 years ago, Pistons up 2 points in the final minutes, and Chauncey finds Rip on coming off a screen, who finds an open Sheed for a second, and Sheed goes up for the dunk to put the game away, but gets swatted by Jermaine O'Neal. Ball goes all the way back to half court. Chauncey picks it up, gets it knocked away with the shot clock running down, and no one is back for Detroit. Jamal Tinsley picks up the loose ball and throws it ahead to 60-year-old Reggie Miller, who has an easy layup to tie the game with 20 seconds to go, but he was kind of in between steps, and obviously being a guy who's not really known for his transition prowess, kind of like me back in the day, he wasted precious milliseconds kind of getting his steps right and getting the exact footing that he needed to take a couple of short steps to kind of get that, you know, right foot, left foot down to take off after the left foot for the perfect fundamental layup and getting his approach ready, you know, before quote-unquote liftoff for the former three-point shooting king who, like I said, not really known for his work in around the glass, but Tayshaun just comes out of nowhere, saves the game with the block with about 18 seconds left. Doc Rivers is on the telecast going nuts. You can find that on YouTube and check it out. Ball was just about to hit the backboard, which would have been a goaltend, but they had the super slow-mo replay, and not that the refs were checking replay, but they showed, you know, on the telecast, and I'm sure you've seen the video since then of Tayshaun's big hand just getting the ball right before it hits the backboard and still on its way up and all that good stuff. Gets the block, sends it into the corner. Rip saves it. He gets fouled. And Tayshaun ended up a few rows into the crowd after that. Just unbelievable. Changed the whole series. The Pacers wouldn't score again that night. The Pistons win 72-67. The teams would then split in Detroit in games 3 and 4. And the Pistons got the big blowout in Indy in game 6 by a class. And then in game 7, the blowout in Indy was in game 5. And then in game 6, back at the Palace, a classic Pistons-Pacers score to end that series, 69-65. Nice, by the way, a very nice score in all ways as the Pistons moved on to the NBA Finals. One of the most famous defensive plays in Pistons history, probably the most famous, Other ones that come to mind were Joe Dumars' block of David Rivers toward the end of the 1989 finals when the Pistons got the win there, blocked the shot of the reserve guard who was filling in for the injured Byron Scott, and then saved it to Bill Laimbeer. That was late in the clincher as well. Also, Ben Wallace had a block of Shaq in 2006 in the Eastern Conference Finals that stands out, even though the Pistons would end up losing that series and Shaq was on the Miami at that time. Is there any, and I'm sure Dennis Rodman had some during his Defensive Player of the Year awards. Let me know on social media if you think of any famous defensive plays in Pistons history that stand out to you. Let me know if you have any. But give us a follow on Twitter and let me know on there, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Reach out to us there. Let us know what else you want to hear this summer. And check us out on the Facebook page. Give us a like at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Rate and review on iTunes, all that good stuff. No more shows scheduled for the rest of the week, but if there's any news on Friday, we'll hop on for a quickie and let you know about the front office searches, coaching searches. And I got Ken Calvert coming up early next week, the voice of the Palace for many, many years as well. And like I said, still waiting on coaching and front office news. But and otherwise, enjoy the weekend, everyone. Hope we get a couple of pretty nice basketball games before we talk again here on Locked On Pistons. And this is your host, Matt Shook, for Locked On Pistons Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a good weekend.